Excuse me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. About 1,000 years before the birth of Christ, the famous King Solomon ruled the kingdom of Israel. He was the son of King David, and Solomon had inherited the kingdom of Israel and the blessing and protection which the Most High God bestowed on the Israelites, his chosen people. When he assumed the throne of the kingdom, Solomon knew that he had a special position, a special privilege before God, that God was close to him, that God loved him and his people, that God would hear his prayer and give him whatever he asked. The scripture tells us that Solomon was told by God in a dream, whatever he prayed for, God would grant him. So instead of asking for power, for wealth, for glory, or anything else, Solomon prayed to God and asked God to give him one thing only. He asked God to give him wisdom. And God was very pleased with this request and blessed the mind and the heart of Solomon with profound wisdom, understanding, intelligence, insight, and discernment in all matters. God made Solomon the wisest man who ever lived, and Solomon used this wisdom to also become the richest man who ever lived. He had many, many possessions, including thousands of acres of lands, thousands of animals, an annual income of approximately 30,000 pounds of gold, unrivaled military power, a fleet of hundreds of ships, 12,000 cavalry horses, enormous stockpiles of every imaginable kinds of food and drink, hundreds of royal palaces filled with gold and precious stones, ornate furniture, artwork, all the comforts that money could buy at that time. In today's world, he would have been a multi-billionaire, perhaps even a trillionaire. More money than Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos. But all this power and all this wealth got to Solomon's head, so to speak, because he began doing things that were in direct opposition to God's commandments. His appetite for luxury and pleasure could not be controlled. He began leveling enormous taxes on the people in order to continue building his palaces and to support his lifestyle. He violated God's strict commandment that a man should have only one wife. In fact, Solomon had 700 wives and hundreds of concubines. And many of his wives were not of Israel. They were not Jews, but of other pagan nations with different practices. And these wives ended up turning Solomon's heart away from God and introduced different beliefs into the pure religion of Israel. Solomon began to build altars and temples to these pagan gods of these foreign religions in order to make his wife happy. And when he did this, something happened in his heart. In the Old Testament book of Kings, we read, quote, "For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God. And again, another passage says, and Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. Solomon fell from grace, and all the wisdom he was given was squandered. And God declared that his kingdom would also be taken over by others, which is exactly what happened after his death. Solomon's great sin was that of forgetting God, who had blessed him. His fatal flaw was in turning his heart away from God and to someone or something else. In today's gospel reading, Christ tells us of a man who, like Solomon, was someone with immense material wealth. Someone who had so much he ran out of places to put it all. And he said, I will tear down my smaller barns and build larger ones so I can put all my stuff there. he speaks to his own soul and he says, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Have fun. And what does God say to him? He calls him a fool. Fool! This night, your soul is required of you. Your soul is required of you. That means you don't own it. Your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? The man in the parable was like Solomon as far as his material wealth. Like Solomon, he amassed so much material wealth that he felt safe, content, happy, secure, and ready to spend the rest of his days enjoying life, eating, drinking, and being merry. Like Solomon, the man had completely forgotten about God. Like Solomon, the man had turned his heart away from God and his neighbor and focused only on himself. Like Solomon, this man had become a fool by his actions, by his falling from faith, by neglecting to realize how turning away from God would impact his soul after death, forever, for eternity. The man was rich, but not rich towards God. Ironically, what remains of the legacy of Solomon are several books in the Old Testament, writings attributed to him. And they are called the books of wisdom. And there are many proverbs and sayings, introspections about life versus death, wisdom versus folly, poverty versus wealth, good versus evil, faith in God versus the consequences of sin. Considering the story of King Solomon's own life, knowing about his rise and fall from grace, make these writings all the more compelling to read and learn from. One such Old Testament book is called Ecclesiastes, and it is written in the first person, and the speaker is considered to be King Solomon himself. In this book, you will hear Solomon speaking as if to all of humanity, like a man near the end of his life. A man who, after being blessed by God and falling from grace, understood in a deep, personal, and painful way how death, our mortality, reveals to us the utter futility of our existence. That a life apart from God is madness. That everything I do in life, every achievement, every possession, every relationship, every experience is completely meaningless, completely in vain, and ultimately destructive to my soul if I lose sight of God. If my heart is turned away from Him, if I am not rich towards God, if I do not love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength, and my neighbor as myself. And in this book, I encourage you to read it, Solomon goes through one by one all the earthly things that we human beings seek after, which he also did. So he is an authority on the matter. Everything we seek after, he did it. He had it all. And for everything he mentions, he concludes that it was in vain and meaningless. And a quote, a striving after the wind, unquote. A striving after nothing, because death renders it all for nothing. He says, for example, a man might spend his whole life trying to gain possessions, and when he dies, someone else who hasn't worked a day for them will get everything. And then that person might end up even losing it all. You sometimes hear this happening in families. So here in Solomon's own words of wisdom, speaking from his own experience about what he finally understood at the end of his life to be the only eternal truth, the only thing that matters, the only purpose and meaning of life, and how we are to do what he calls the God-given task. He says, what profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is a gift of God. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing taken from it. God does it, that men should fear before him. That which is has already been. And what is to be has already been. And God requires an account of what is past. In other words, we must indeed labor, work hard, and accomplish things in our lives through education, in our careers and businesses, etc. And we should certainly eat and drink and enjoy ourselves with our families and everything we have worked so hard for. But, this is a big but, we must remember three things. Number one, to remember that God has called us to live not only for this life, but for eternity. Number two, to think of others, to take care of others and to do good. Number three, to always remember that everything we are and everything we have, including our bodies and our souls, are a gift of God. And God will require an account of it. He will ask us on the day of judgment, "What did you do with your body? What did you do with your soul?" Because, he says, to those whom much is given, much will be expected. May we all continue to live our lives with these three principles of generosity to others, humility before God, and gratitude for our blessings, with faith in Jesus Christ, and a life lived within the arms of the church, so that our hearts will always remain rich towards God and never turn away from Him. Glory to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.